take your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 32. I want to say a couple of things. One, I want to thank Todd. Todd was supposed to be on vacation today. He had Nate to fill in. Nate calls and is sick, and so Todd leaves his vacation, comes back here to lead music. I really appreciate that. And I'm thankful he is a faithful man of God and takes his responsibility very seriously. And I appreciate it greatly. Exodus 32 is really, let me give you, as you're turning there, just a heads up about what's taking place there. If you remember, the people of Israel were in bondage. God raised up a man named Moses to lead the people out. There's the 10 plagues. And by the time you get to Exodus chapter 20, God's speaking to everybody, gives them the 10 commandments plus a whole bunch more. And then by Exodus 24, God says to Moses, come up here, I got some more words for you. Moses leaves the people and is going to go up to the mountaintop for about 40 days. And so Exodus 32 kind of picks up in that idea of where Moses is and where the people are. And so let me read to you out of the book of Exodus, Exodus 32, about God's people and where they're at and where they need to be. It says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. And as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought a peace offering. And people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, they have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made a molten calf and worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto. And said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for this nation that you have established. Thank you, Lord, for the foundation is upon Christ. And Lord, I know we've gotten far away from that, but help us, O Lord, to be turned back to you. Lord, just stretch your hand out gently and touch us and turn us. Help us not be a stiff-necked people, but a people willing to obey and follow and be in your will. Lord, I pray this morning as I speak your words that you give me clarity of thought and mind. Remove my distractions. Let me speak those things that need to be said. Lord, I pray that they would be taken in the right way with a great conviction that we all might turn and follow you. Thank you, Lord, again for that promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I think I've told you about Rob Smith and his desire to go and help, and he's kind of a historian himself, and so if you don't know Rob, you can see him back there in the very corner there. So he goes to the school quite regular, reads, and he was giving a history lesson about the United States and things that was taking place. And so in that fourth grade class, he says, how many of you can name the states of the United States? And this guy said he can name two or three, another guy. And Rob kind of flustered says, when I was your age, I can name all the states. And one little boy said, yeah, when you were our age, there were only 13 states. You know, thinking about that, we've come a long way in the last 200 some odd years. We have really came a long, long way from 1607 when those first people landed in Jamestown or established that Jamestown colony to the pilgrims coming in 1620 and really with the Mayflower Compact speaking on the things that were about God and his son Christ Jesus to 1776 in the Declaration of Independence, right on through today's. A lot of things have taken place, some for good and some for bad. And I think you could say the same thing about Israel. There are times when Israel did great things. God used them mightily. There are times they got off kilter, they did their own thing, and God chastised them greatly. And so having said that, as we look at Exodus 32, notice there's some things in this passage that really speak about Israel, of course, but really speak to us today, that we may be a people knowing where we came from and a people knowing where we need to be. Notice the first thing I want you to see. One, there's the corruption of the people, the corruption of the people. When you read verse 32, verse 1, it says, and when the people saw Moses delay, let me just stop right there. Who are these people that God mentions in this Bible. Who are the people that are here? And so you recognize as you go back to Abraham. Abraham was called and out of the Ur, the land of the Chaldees. Abraham was established by God to do good things. And Abraham, we recognize, as a man of faith, believed. And so from Abraham, there was Isaac. And Isaac, Jacob. And you remember Jacob had 12 sons, which became the tribes of Israel. They had a great start. And through all those things, they had to overcome so many things. They had overcome Egypt. They had overcome the Red Sea. They'd enter the wilderness into the promised land, heading in that direction. God rained down so many blessings. There was the manna. There was the quail. There was a fire by night and a cloud by day. They had done great things. And so God had brought them to a point, and you remember in Exodus 24, verse 4, Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under a hill, 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Exodus 24, 7 says, and he took the book of the covenant and read in all the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And so they had a great start. We need to recognize that a great start, their great start was good. They were doing good things. And we understand that same thing could be said about our nation. Our nation started out with a principle that there is not just a God, but a God who can be known through His Son, Christ Jesus, the only one God. I mentioned already the Pilgrims and the Mayflower Compact, and in that Mayflower Compact it says, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith. 100 years later, George Washington, that would become the president in 1789, delivered his inaugural address there, both to both houses of Congress. And he recognized and understood that this nation was built on the principle of being right with God. So he reads Deuteronomy 28 in its entirety. And basically it says there, if you will do what God says, God will bless. And if you don't do what God says, you will be cursed. And so we recognize our nation was built on this idea that Christ is that solid rock, that we need to be on that rock. Read the state constitution of every state in our nation, and those states have this idea of their preambles and constitutions that there is one Almighty God, and we recognize Him. Yes, our nation, like Israel, was founded on the Word of God, and so we need to stick to that. So their start was good, but now their stall was gradual. Well, when you read verse 8, it says they have turned aside quickly. But let me remind you, I want you to understand that their turning aside did not happen overnight. It didn't happen in one day. And so our nation has turned, and even as a people, sometimes we turn. But it never happens just like that. There's some things that take place in our life. We need to recognize that sin is a series of steps that lead us far away from God. And so again, verse 1 of Exodus 32 says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, so Moses was leaving the people, go to the mountaintop and receive some additional words from the Lord, and we find that when he communed there, the people simply turned from him. We were reminded in verse 9 of Exodus 32 that they were a stiff-necked people, and so we know that there's some things in their life that were not good even before they get to this point. And so we understand that they turned away quickly, yes, indeed, but through a sense of time. And so our nation can be said of the same thing. You look around today and see our nations. Oh, my goodness, look how bad we are. But a series of steps have been taken. And by the way, our nation is not that old. Somebody kind of relayed that to us and said, when Thomas Jefferson, our third president, died, Abraham Lincoln, who would be our 16th president, was only 17 years old. When Lincoln was assassinated, Woodrow Wilson, our 28th president, was a young boy of 8 years old. And by the time the nation mourned the death of President Wilson, Ronald Reagan, our 40th president, was a boy of 12. I remember Ronald Reagan, and you do too, many of you. Our nation is not that old, and yet we have turned aside quickly. Why Israel? Why us? Well, we recognize sometimes it is because of impatience. Lo and behold, I think they were impatient. They wanted to get to the promised land. They were in a hurry to go to some place. But I'm reminded that sometimes that God wants us to stay still and understand Him. There are some times in our life when we get ahead of the Lord. We get the cart before the horse. We get ourselves before God. And we need to take some time and delay and stop and pray and recognize God has something for us. In our quietness, in our stillness, that's when God surely speaks to us. And so we need to wait on the Lord, as it says in Psalms 37. Proverbs 20 says this, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." And so maybe today you're in a kind of a quiet spot, or a spot that's not moving nearly as fast as you want it to. Just know those are the times when God wants you to be still and simply focus on him. You say, "Well, I need a word to move on." Well, just keep doing the last thing that God told you. Don't be impatient as the people of Israel were. Simply stop and wait on God's next move. Secondly, maybe they had some insecurities. They knew they needed a higher power to lead them. Moses is now left. But look what they say in verse 1. "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods," notice that plural there, "which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we will not know what was become of him." And so they knew they needed something greater than themselves to lead them forward. They said, "Oh, the Lord has left us." But let me remind you, they still had a visible reminder. Every morning when they got up, except on the Sabbath day, manna had covered the ground that they knew was from God. Every day they could look up and see this cloud by day, and by night a pillar of fire. And you may not think that's a big deal, but anybody work outside yesterday when there was no cloud? Ooh, it was hot. And so in God's mercy, he put a cloud over the people, so they had a day of comfort, and then they had a nightlight by night. And so they missed the great things that God was doing for them. They wanted to see something else. They wanted to see the newest, latest, and greatest. And so what happens, Aaron said this in verse 2, Exodus 32. And Aaron said, "Break off the golden earrings which are in their ears, or your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." Verse 4 says, "And he received them of their hands and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And so they were taking and trading God's glory for something else. They were trading what God had said is true and right for something else. Now, it was a religious act, and there's no doubt. They had an altar in verse 5. They had sacrifices in verse 10 or verse 6. They had singing in verse 18. I'm telling you, some of the same things that go on this morning were going on back in those days. There was an exception there. They did not have God in their midst. They had turned away. Can you see in that first time when they had all these? Matter of fact, and it says they were dancing. They had a great worship service, you may say. They were excited about what they were doing. Can you hear them speak about what a great time it was? You say, "Well, did you see that one person make this great generous gift? Or did you hear that person singing and praising? Did you see so-and-so dance like they did?" Now, we're Baptists. We don't do a whole lot of dancing, amen? That's just what we don't do. It was a good day of worship. The house was packed. Everything was good except for one thing. God was not among them. Their worship was worthless. Their praise was pitiful. Their sacrifice was scorned because they did not focus on the one true God. I'm telling you today, if you're not careful, there are churches all out there, and I'm not making any particular reference, but there's some churches, just turn on the TV and see, and you'll see a lot of things, a lot of entertainment. People say, "Wow, what a wonderful time. Man, that was good." But I wonder if it was entertaining or if it was truly intertwined with the one true God. I'm reminded of what happened to Samson when he left the Lord. Judges chapter 16, verse 20 says, "And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he knew not that the Lord was departed from him." I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in all the things of the world. There are so many things out there that are religious today. Just turn on the TV. Just turn on your phone and look around, and all the things that they do in the name of religion that are not good, that are contrary to the Word of God. Yes, they will mention Christ Jesus, but man, they are not following what he says. Now, we know this is not good because in verse 6 it says this, "And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Now, we know that word play is not good, but we're reminded what they're doing is offering themselves to the fertility god. We know they're going to worship Baal. that fertility, God, is it just was not good. Matter of fact, you get a better glimpse in verse 25, which says this: "And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies." So Baal was the fertility god, and so we find that in a religious service, they did things they should not be doing. Again, it's amazing what people do in the name of religion. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:5, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now, before we kind of look down our nose, we must ask ourselves about our God. Is he Lord in the church? And is he Lord everywhere else? See, I bet they thought, well, God was God when he parted the Red Sea. God was God when he plagued the Egyptians. He was God in Egypt, but is he God here? He was God over yonder, but is he God today and now? And I wonder if we replaced him with us. Have we replaced the Son of God with ourselves? Have we replaced the Almighty with us? We want to please ourselves so many times instead of pleasing the Lord. No, we don't replace God with a calf today, but if we're not careful, we'll replace him with other things. So let me ask you, as Israel had turned away, have we as a nation turned away? Have we as a community turned away? Have we as a church turned away? Has we as individuals turned away from God? So here's the question: what keeps us and you from honoring the Lord? Is there anything in your life that is leading you away from him? Is there a golden calf in your life? If so, just know there's a corruption that needs to be done away with. So we move from the corruption of the people, but now secondly, there's a confrontation of the people. Notice this, and the Lord's always challenging his people. When his people do wrong, God always sends somebody. When his people get out of line, God always, in his mercy and grace, sends somebody that they may know what the truth is. So notice first the commands of the Lord. Verse 7 says this: "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." God calls Moses from the mountaintop to go to the valley to confront sin. And that's how God works. God sends somebody in his presence, from his presence, to go and confront those that are not living right. And let me remind you, that's not just my job or this person's job or that person. It's all of our jobs to be in God's will, to leave the mountaintop on the Lord's day, on the service of his Son, and go to those and share the truth. God calls us as he did Moses. God says, "Get thee down, Moses." And so I think about how people today are so worried about what others think about them. They're worried about offending others. I'm reminded that God always has a way that is right and wants to make sure. Why? Because there's a danger of not doing it God's way. There's a danger in God's wrath when we go and not do his will. Exodus 32:10 says, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. I will make thee a great nation." I'm reminded of places in the past like Sodom and Gomorrah God wiped out. I think about Noah and the flood that God consumed those people. I think about America today and the things that we're doing. Somebody has rightly said that if the Lord doesn't judge America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. What a terrible thought that is about our nation today. If we don't turn, what is God going to do? So in verse 15, we find Moses turned and went down from the mount, and two tables of testimony that were in his hand. And the tables were written on their both sides, one on one side and the other they were written. And so we find that God's sending the word of God down to the people. So you have a command of the Lord, but secondly, there's a casualty of the word. Notice verse 19 what happened. "It came to pass as soon as he came nigh to the camp that he saw the calf, the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount." Moses takes the word of God that God's finger had written on, and he casts the tables down so they break. Now, you may shrink back in disgust or anger, but when Moses breaks the tables, it is a symbolic action of what has already taken place. They had broken the word of God way before Moses did. And by the way, Moses never gets condemned for breaking those tablets. And so sin had stripped them of the word of God. And I'm telling you, we find the same thing. If we're not using our Bible, we might as well break it. If we're not following the word of God, it's as good as the casting it down. Somebody had also rightly said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Sometimes people won't go to church because they don't want to hear the Word of God, because the Word of God brings conviction. My friends, that's exactly what we need. We need to be convicted. We need to turn. We need to have something tell us. For the Bible says in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Word of God gives correction. It gives direction. It gives life. But just like Amos said in those days, I think that same thing is found in America today. Amos 8:11 says, behold, the days will come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but the hearing of the Word of God. Moses broke the tables, the tablets, way before, or the people broke the word way before Moses did. So notice the outcome here. There's the command, there's the casual of the word, but thirdly, there's the crushing of the calf, the crushing of the calf. So verse 20 says, and he took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire, ground it to powder, strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel to drink of it. You see the scene. Moses walks down, sees the things that are taking place. He says, take the calf, burn it, crush it, and pour it in the water, and then made the people drink of that, so it goes in. Kind of a symbolic thing, because the thing they now had served becomes excrement. I don't want to be too descriptive here, but you notice what goes in the body comes out somewhere else. Amen? So the thought is this. They were serving the thing that was detestable in the eyes of God. So the question is, the thing that you serve now, will it be worth anything later? Paul writes in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And so I'm reminded just quickly there that if we're not living for the Lord, if we're not striving for Him, all the things that we collect in this life really end up in the same place. Not worth anything when it comes to following the Lord. And so you have the command, the casualty, the crushing of the calf, but fourthly, the calling of Aaron to the floor. So in verse 21, it says this, and Moses said to Aaron, what did this people unto you that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Why call out Aaron? Why didn't he call out Joe? Or why didn't he call out this person or that person? Because Aaron was the one in charge. Moses and Aaron were brothers. You understand that Moses left. He said, Aaron, you're the guy. You're the one in charge. I'm reminded of Luke 12, middle of that verse 48 says this, for unto whomever much is given, much shall be required. And you may be thinking here, well, I'm not going to be in leadership. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to do anything that may cost me more than this. Well, let me also remind you, Matthew 25, about the talents. And it says this, I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, here is thine. And his Lord answered and said, thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have strawed. And so let me just tell you, God wants you to use what you got for His honor and glory. God wants you to be involved. God wants you to be faithful. And if you say no to that, there's going to be punishment. But then when you do get involved, and if you don't do it the right way, there's going to be punishment. What's the solution? Do it God's way when He calls. Aaron will be confronted. And so notice what Aaron does. Because sooner or later, we're all going to be caught. We're all going to be confronted. We're all going to be spoken to about our sins. Don't do what Aaron does. Notice again, verse 22. And Aaron said, let not thy anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people. He first blames others. He said, you know this bunch, this heathen bunch ain't no good. It's their fault this is going on. But he doesn't stop there. Secondly, he blames Moses. He said, after he said, thou knowest the people, he said, they that are sent on mischief. Verse 23 says, for they said unto me, make up gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Secondly, he says, Moses, this is your fault. You left and you let this take place. You'll notice, not Aaron's fault. It's the people. It's Moses. Thirdly, he blamed the fire. Notice again the end of verse 24. So they gave it to me, speaking about the earrings. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. In other words, I had nothing to do with this. I was just following them. I threw in the gold earrings, and boom, how popped the calf. I didn't do these things. But I'm reminded what it says, that later on, he engraved it with his hand. He made the calf. He was guilty. So while I read all that, well, there's always a time when we find in our life when we're sinning and blaming others. But sooner or later, all that comes to close. We need to get back to what he says, confess our sins, and recognize that God's the one that forgives. So let me ask you before I move on. Is the Lord confronting you of some sin in your life and you just blame others? Is there something in your life that you need to do or not do, which lines up with the Word of God? In other words, are there things that you need to do because God said to do them? Or are there things that you need to stop because God said, I don't want you to do that? Sooner or later, there'll be nobody else to blame but yourself. Why not be a person that follows the Bible, confess those sins before the Lord, recognize he wants to put you in a place to be used by him? Well, notice the third thing. The corruption of the people, the confrontation of people, thirdly, the choice of the people. The Lord always brings us to a point of change and a choice, a change of heart that leads to a change of actions. First, there is the call to respond. Verse 26 says this, and Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. There's always this idea, a call to respond. There's always a call to make a choice for the Lord. There's always a call to seek him. The people may have said, well, we're okay. I'm just good like I am. I'm a religious person, but I'm really not in one sense. I serve the Almighty, but really I'm doing these other things. I live for God, but really living like the devil himself. Let me remind you, you cannot be for God and against what he says is right. You cannot live a life of immorality and say that you're serving him. You cannot live a life filled and want more and more and more and more when you want less of the Lord. We need to recognize that God has always called people to make a choice. Joshua 24:15. Joshua said, if it seemed evil unto you this day to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. 1 Kings 18, Elijah calls the people, if the Lord be God, follow him. If not, follow Baal. Matthew 23, Jesus gave an invitation to Israel. Matthew 19, Jesus is going to say these words about an invitation to the rich man. Jesus said to him, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. We know the rich man rejected that. How about in Mark 1:17, and Jesus said to them, come ye after me, and I will make you fishermen. There was an invitation for the disciples to follow him. Mark 8:34, when he called the people to him and his disciples also, he said to them, whosoever will come after me, and let him deny himself. And so we find, follow him. Then lastly, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. God always gives invitations to follow him. He calls to us. God is calling us today to follow him. So I wonder, will you listen to the call and join his side? I wonder, will you understand that you must choose him? When the call comes, say yes to Christ. There's the call to respond, but notice how this takes place. There's the collection of the saints in verse 26. At the end of that verse, it said, let them come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gather themselves together unto him. And so when Moses gave the invitation, the Levites, that was his family, came to his side and said, we will follow. They choose sides, and it was evident. And so let me remind you, is it evident in your life that you are on the Lord's side? Have you joined his side by faith? Are you part of the body of Christ? Do others know where you stand? They surely did in that day. They recognized that the Levites came out and stood by Moses. I'm telling you, in our country today, there will be a time when it will be impossible to be in both camps. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be on the Lord's side. And so here's how all this ends up. Not just the corruption of the people, not the confrontation of the people, not just the choice of the people, but now the consequences of the people. And so here's why Moses preached against sin. Here's why we today still preach against sin. There's always things that take place. So we find of a consequence, one, there's the piercing sword in verse 27. Notice what he said. This is going to be an instant judgment. Verse 27, and he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, go out in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man and his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. You say, well, hang on, that's kind of radical. Well, read the rest of the story. Basically, he says, consecrate themselves. There's going to be a bunch of people that said, nope, we're going to still serve Baal. We're still going to do those things that we want to do. We're not going to serve the one true God. And Moses said, slay those guys. There's an instant judgment. Verse 28 says, so the children of Israel, or the children of Levi, did according to the word of Moses, and there fell the people that day about 3,000 men. 3,000 died because of their willingness to not turn away from Baal and their failure to follow God. They've made a choice that caused a consequence in their life. And let me remind you, you might not see it, but when you sin for that first time, you are slayed. In one sense, you are dying or you are dead. The old man is alive, yes, but the spiritual man dies. James speaks about when sin has brought forth, it brings forth death, speaking about a spiritual death. But that instant sin, that instant consequence just didn't stay there. Notice, next, there's the, not only the piercing of the sword, but there's the plaguing of the people in verse 34. Now, therefore, go out, lead the people into the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sins upon them. Verse 35 says, and the Lord plagued the people because they had made the calf which Aaron made. So you had an instant judgment, but now this delayed judgment. You had a judgment that just kept on going. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in our life, there's some things that we still deal with, some plaguing of sins that we have committed. Why not turn from those things and follow Christ? Why not confess your sins before Him and let the Lord be faithful to forgive those sins? But lastly, notice this, because judgment was coming, but there's also a blessing. There is the procedure for a blessing, the procedure for blessing. Verse 29 says, and Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. He said, consecrate yourselves. Now, you may have this word consecrate and not understand really. I had a misconception. Years ago, it was this idea of concentrate. Remove all those things that are wrong. Remove all the sins. Remove all the things that are not right. Remove the ungodly. Remove, remove, remove. And that's not what it is at all. To consecrate means to fill up. And so he was simply saying, fill up on the Lord. Fill up on His ways. Fill up on His word. Fill up daily to keep wickedness away from you. Fill up with the Lord to keep evil things out of your life. The psalmist said in 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God wanted to bless them, but they need to be filled by Him. They need to have God's blessing in their life. They needed God's presence and His power. And when they were filled with God, they did right. And when they were not filled by God, they did wrong. So let me ask you, are you filled with the Spirit today? Are you following the Lord? Are you doing it His way or your way? You may be surprised to understand that one day you'll stand before Him and give a testimony and account. Why not understand that God wants to bless you as a father blesses a son that loves him? And let your life be open for Him and let Him fill you, removing the sins and the iniquities and the shortcomings that you may be in His life to receive those great blessings. You say, well, how can I? I've done all these things wrong. Well, it's like that song we sing sometimes, Amazing Grace. If you remember John Newton, the writer, there was a wicked, wicked man. He was a slave at one point himself and then became a slave trader. But in those old sailing ships, as they were going through the sea, he had a great conversion. Probably in the middle of a hurricane, he said it was a tremendous storm, but he cried out to God and recognized that God was the one that truly was over all things. And he felt that grace of God had forgiven him of all of his sins. And he wrote these words that we sing so well, that we know so well, we're fixing to sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Israel had some low points, but by the grace and mercy of God, he restored them and has a plan for them, I believe, at the end days. America, founded by God, we've had some low points, and I believe God has a plan for us that he may use us to send out his message to all people that there is one God, that we can have redemption through his son, Christ Jesus. As individuals, we've had some good days and maybe some bad days, but by God's amazing grace, we too can be transformed to be used by him. If God's calling you this morning, I wonder, will you say yes to his amazing grace? Will you respond, or will be a stiff-necked person? Will you respond, or will you just came in the way and leave the way you came in? Will you respond and find that great blessing that God so wants to bestow? Hopefully that is your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Moses gave an invitation. Jesus gave invitations. And so today we give invitations still. Who will be on the Lord's side? I wonder, is that you? Maybe you're here this morning, you know that you're not on the Lord's side. You know that if he were to return today, it would not be good. You know you're not where you're supposed to be. Why not say yes to the Lord today? Why not make that public? Why not come to this altar? Let me remind you, walking that aisle doesn't do anything for you except for one thing, and that is, I know people will be praying for you, and there's power in prayers. Who is on the Lord's side? Maybe that you're a strong believer, but not where you're supposed to be at. Maybe God wants you in this place, this house, to serve and worship him. Maybe you are a strong believer and know there's some people around you that are not living right and they need to be prayed for because they're a stiff-necked people. And as Moses prayed, people change. And as we pray, people change by the Spirit of God. So maybe you want to get to this altar and pray. Who is on the Lord's side? How will you respond to the call of God? I have no doubt God's calling. But I wonder, will we call back and respond? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the amazing grace that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for our nation that was founded on you. Thank you, Lord, for the examples in the Bible of how Israel, that nation that you chose, had ups and downs. But through your amazing grace, you restored them and helped them and will continue to do so. Lord, I pray that same thing will be in our life when we respond to you properly, when we say yes to you, that you will take us, lead us, and guide us. Lord, if there's anyone in this house this morning that needs to change, that needs to do different, help them to hear the call and let them be on your side, O Lord, before they leave this place. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that you love us. Thank you for all these things. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.